Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof. So, where are we in the saga so far? The last thing that we discovered was what appeared to be the last opportunity for a complete change in Shaul's mentality to allow him to once again give over properly the Malchus to David as was originally given into his bayit. That the love of David should continue and should be an expression now of the Malchus of Binyamin, being the Mishnah Lamelech, as Yonatan perceived, he would be the one that would be the one second in command. And that would always be the relationship of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, so to speak. Binyamin now in the relationship with Yehuda, the Arvutam, would represent the essence of Klal Yisrael. And this is how it should be. And this is what Yonatan wanted. Shaul had sworn that that's exactly what would happen. And that, well, he didn't say it so openly, but he said, "You're right. I did see. I was happy. Chai Hashem. He won't die. On the contrary, I'll protect him." But then what happened was is that all of a sudden Shaul now perhaps went crazy, or perhaps this was a serious thing, but he attempted to murder David. So David realized that this is a crazy situation, and he runs away. He runs away to, of all places, Shmuel. Shmuel can't do anything to protect him. That we know because Shmuel was himself chayshish. That was shamasha over yargin. So he runs away to Shmuel to achieve the darga of nayot, as Chazal tell us, that they were osek in noyo shalolam, that he would become clear about the nature of the Beit HaMikdash, where it is, how it should be built, and this is what he was osek in, to completely go beyond all of the particular issues that terrified him at this moment. And this is the zmirot ayuli chukecha. No matter what the situation was, this is what gave me chiyut. It's again and again a recurrent theme that David HaMelech, whenever he was in a matzav of terror, the thing that kept him going was his esek and terah, and in the things that really mattered in life. And yet there was some other aspect to it, because remember that Shmuel himself was the mekor of the malchut, both for Shaul and for David. And if there would be any way in which it would be possible to be mashlim, those two b'shichot of Shmuel himself, the Pach and the Keren, then Shmuel would be the only one who could achieve it. And in an amazing story, what happens is that Shmuel does indeed do something which is the only opportunity to change what is happening. He presses reset. And all of a sudden we are drawn back to the moment that Shaul became Melech, the king, at the moment of his b'shicha, where Shmuel tells him what's going to happen to you, is you're going to go from here, you're going to leave here, and you're going to meet a Lahakat Nevi'im, and you're going to find that you joined a Lahakat Nevi'im. This time, Shmuel is with the Lahakat Nevi'im. Shmuel is Aliyam. That didn't happen the first time. Shmuel is with the Lahakat Nevi'im, and Shaul comes himself, and we repeat the same words, Hagam Shaul Ba'Nevi'im, despite the fact that this had been something that people had already been saying now for the entire period. So, obviously, it's meant to be taken as a reset. In that reset, the new vision of Shaul could have also been reset. Originally, Shaul was David. Remember, David wasn't the only one who fought Goliath. Shaul did. Because Shaul was the one who had grabbed the Luchot from Goliath, had run that day all the way, with the Luchot, all the way to Shiloh. A crazy story. So he was the one that fails the second approach to Goliath. So we already see that what was eating away at him is that he was no longer a spontaneous responder to the Ruach Elokim that's Bekirba. He's already thinking out, so what's in it for me? What's the impression that's going to be made? But when Shaul was Shaul, he was David. And indeed, Yonatan, who retains everything that Shaul was, really is David in everything that he did. He's just not as able. But look at the things that he does and his clarity about the only future is David. It's incredible. So that this now perhaps has changed what we thought was a hopeless situation. We can restart, which explains the opening of this today's parak. Because the last place that David should be running away to is back to Shaul. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. He ran away. He made it to Nayot. Shaul has sent already three groups of policemen and soldiers to capture him. Every one of them turned into a Navi, which is absurd. Ends up now that he himself has to come out there. So and the place you want to go is to go back to Shaul when you just managed to escape by the skin of your teeth. And yet he does. Vayivrach David minayot beramah. So he's running away and he goes where? To Yonatan. Vayomer lifnei Yonatan, I don't understand what's going on. What did I do? Now this is remarkable, because remember that we saw that the only way to understand the story of Michal and the original escape of David from Shaul was that she was taking the place of Rachel in the story of Lavan, turning her back to her father and attempting to save him from his own folly. And this was merumez in what was the avon of Shaul, in that Shrafim and Hafzar and Kesem and Mary are all interrelated. So this idea of attempting to control things is part of Shaul's problem. Here, the Medrash itself picks up immediately on, look at this. Who said, Mapishi, Machatati? Yaakov said to Lavan. That's exactly the words he said to Lavan. What is going on over here? What did I ever do to you? Why are you running after me? Why are you attempting to... So says the Medrash, yeah, but look at the difference. Better kapdanutan shel avot than the anaftanutan shel banim. Because Yaakov Avinu, vayorev, he's angry and he's telling him, look, what did I ever do that you're running? So what are you waiting? Says the Medrash, very cute Medrash. So savurata, you're waiting right now for somebody to take out a knife, right? Savurata makot, opzayim yeshkan. No, on the contrary. Mishashtet kol kelai, mamatzat, let's discuss this rationally and so on. Masha Inkain, David comes, and he's the nice guy. David comes, and what does he start talking about? Your father's a murderer. That's not exactly the very piyusim. I mean, he's already being maskish v'chaz damim over there. We didn't even talk about Chas v'shalom coming to blows. It was all rational, civilized people discussing things. But over here, we're already talking about crazy people. It sounds like Yediot Achronot in Israel. So we're continuing now this type of interrelationship between the Rama'ut and the elements of Lavan that appear here in Shaul. And this is all about the Mirma. That's exactly what Itani is. Ribitani, he says to Michal. Now, clearly, Yonatan was convinced that his father had only had a spell. It wasn't that his father wanted to kill David. His father had already taken a shvuah in the name of Hashem. How could you say such a thing? Vayomlo chalila, where do you come up with such a word? Because he went crazy for a minute? What, you think that he's committed to killing you? We already went through that. He did that once. I got him to accept that it wasn't true, and that he took a shvuah in the shame of Hashem, a shvuah chamura. Where do you get the idea that that is what happened? Look, I can tell you one thing. Hinei lo yaseh avi davar gadol o davar katan v'lo yegleh et ozni. He's never, ever made a move without sharing it with me. That when he did decide that he wanted to kill you, he called me in. He told me. He knew that I loved you. And nonetheless, he called me in. Now, if this is where he would be at this point, Madua yastir avi mimeni et adavar hazeh. Enzo, it's not true. This is a mistake. Now, what is going on over here is only understandable if we view this parak with the recognition that we are talking about finality. In other words, this is the last possible chance. Yonatan has been pressing David not to give up, because this will be the entire difference in the whole history of Klal Yisrael, which is what it ends up being. The breakdown of the Malchus, the way in which the interrelationship between David and the Yehuda and Binyamin is going to be defined, is going to be Nogea, all of the Aseres HaShvatim, the rest of the Malucha. We can't leave any stone unturned. If there's any way that this could work, he's been asking David to be Meiser Nefesh. He dragged David back in there to put himself in a position where it literally is a target for somebody who's aiming at him. And David's not willing to permanently leave until there's nothing that could possibly change. He's coming to Yonatan and he's saying, look, you've been pressuring me. You've been telling me that something can change. I'm putting myself again and again in danger. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm telling you, this is a commitment. This is not something crazy. He wants me dead. So Yonatan is worried that means this is the end. If he really wants him dead, then God help us what the implications are and consequences are for Klal Yisrael. The war, ultimately, the whole story of what happens now when the forces of Shaul, the murders that take place. It's terrible. It's a disaster. And that has vast implications, as we're going to see just a few lines from now. So therefore, Yonatan says, it's impossible. It couldn't be. He never, ever held something like that inside that I wouldn't know about. Vayishava o David. And David swore, we'll see. He also uses the Shem Hashem. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm ready to take a shvua. You're asking me, how is it that you don't know? Yodoa yada avicha ki matzati chen beinecha. Vayomer ayida zot Yonatan pen yatzev. He doesn't want you to know, because he understands what it's going to do to you. But I tell you, v'ulam chay Adonai v'chein nafshecha, ki chafesa b'ni uvein amavet. I'm always just one footstep ahead of death. If I hadn't dodged that bullet yesterday, I wouldn't be here talking to you. So I can't live like this. You're wrong.
What about the fact that he had Mashiach on that? I mean, doesn't he take into account anything? I mean, does he say that? It's clear that that would be a cause of...
What do you mean?
This is the secret that he was Shmuel, the Mashiach had the David, right?
I don't understand your question.
If he knows he's going to be king, then he's...
But that's not Machatatim. I don't understand. Wait, oh, but now he's outthinking God? Did I ever do anything? What, my existence is what bothers him? I don't understand. He already swore that he appreciates my existence. So now it must be that he's talking himself into it. What is he talking himself into? Vayomer Yonatan el David. Look, there's no point in our arguing of this, okay? You know what Aragorn asked Gandalf. What does your heart tell you? Fine. That's all I can say. So ma tomar nafshecha. I can't argue. You're taking a shvua. This is the way you... So what does your heart tell you? What do we do? I'll do whatever you want. What do we do? Vayomer David al Yonatan, I'll tell you what we do. There's only one thing we can do. I need to know. You need to know. Because this is the whole point. We're both risking our lives here. You're risking your life. Your father already tried killing you once. It's going to happen again. And it does. So we need to know whether there's a chance or whether this is not insanity at all, but rather a clear-headed commitment to destroying me. Now here's what we're going to do. Hine chodesh machar. Tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. V'nochi yashov eshevim ha-melech lechol. Every time it's Rosh Chodesh, I'm always there at the Sutlana. V'shilachtani, so what I want you to do is now, today, send me away. V'nistarti basadeh ad ha-erev ha-shlishit. I will sit and wait until the third day, because it could be that on the first day of Rosh Chodesh he won't ask about me. But on the second day at the Sutlana, he will ask about me. And then, impakod, yifkedeni avich, if your father will note that I'm not there, and he'll say what's happening. Vamarta, I want you to tell him this. Nishol nishal mimeni David larutz beit lechem iro. Just be merames to him, that little piece. David asked me to just run a little bit to beit lechem. Kizevach hayamim sham lekol ha-mishpacha, which you may recall having thought of David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, Shalom Aleichem, no Rosh Chodesh. This is the Sud of Rosh Chodesh. Where do you think the Sud of Rosh Chodesh is going to be kept if not in Beit Lechem, which is the Sheresh of Malchus? Give him all of these Ramos. It's Rosh Chodesh. You're wondering where David is. Where do you think David should be? With you, who is not the Malchus anymore? David is where he has to be. So he went to Beit Lechem. We're over there. That was the Makor of the Malchus, the Yisrael. And that's why it's the Kol HaMishpacha.
Where is Shaul?
He's in his capital, is Givat Shaul. So Imko Yomar, if he'll say at that time, Tov, so then Shalom Lavdecha, then that means he's not, because you see, if it's madness, the madness is when I'm present. So he can't control himself. He sees something in me, it's this love-hate relationship, he goes crazy. Okay, but here we're talking about now a cold-blooded thought. So, I mean, certainly in his mind, if he's accepting the fact that I am really meant to be Melech, then my danger to him in the Malchus is not the issue. It's something about me. Okay, so then, fine, then we can risk it. And that means there's a chance of giving over the Malchus. So if he hears that on Rosh Chodesh, I'm not with him, but I'm with Beit Lechem, and he says, okay, I accept that, so then it's okay. Then I'm willing to continue risking being around a madman who could pull a gun at me at any moment. Okay, that's a different issue. But at least I don't view him in his essence as trying to destroy me. And I'm willing to risk my life for the Havarat HaMalchut properly. But im charoye charelo, if he goes crazy with that, then it has nothing to do with reacting against me, because I'm not there. So if it's a monomania, it's triggered by my very presence. It's triggered by his love for me, by his hate for me, by his fear of me, by his everything that we spoke about, his kina, everything now is so complex in his mind, my presence makes him crazy. But if he's angry when I'm not there, then you have to understand, ki chaltahara amimo, it's overs. And there's no point in our continuing this. V'atzita chesed al avdecha, I'm asking you to do me a favor. Ki vivrit Adonai evetat avdecha imach, remember that we are linked together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu between us as an aid. If you feel at any time that I have done something that in any way is a violation of that love, please don't let your father get involved. Just kill me. You kill me. But I don't want any. I don't want your father to have anything to do with this. You kill me. Why should anything that I do wrong end up with your father? So just let's make sure. I'm willing and I'm accepting that I may be wrong about something. But keep your father out of it. Would never occur to me in a million years that there was something that you would do that could possibly be made for our brit. I would never think of such a thing. Rashi understands it to mean, Chalila, I can't believe that you're Choshed that I would. But the other Mepharshim said, but there is no indication that he was Choshed. That's not the point. He's saying, if you are ever Choshed me. So Yonatan is saying, Chalil Allah, I would never dream in a million years that you could do something that would be made for our love. So, I mean, is there any reason that I could possibly dream of that I shouldn't come and tell you? I would never ever think that you could have done something that would change my love of you. If I know that it's over, I'm not going to come and tell you. I will come and tell you. And I'm not going to allow my mind to be warped by my desire for this thing to work out. So, fine. Vayome David el Yonatan. Mi yagidli, uman miancha v'yikakasha. So how am I going to find out? I mean, I'm going to be hiding. How do you intend to inform me? And this is a very interesting form because it's such a loshon kitzara that it doesn't even bother mentioning the other side. In other words, or what will your father say if it's kasher? Obviously means it was the first part. So it means, and who will tell me if what your father said was good or if what he said was kasher? So it's very, very katsar. It's extremely shorthand in which people that love each other can give me David. Let's get out of here then. I don't want to talk here indoors. Let's go out. They go out to the field. I've got to take a shvua. Adonai Elohei Yisrael, ki echkorot avi ke'et machar ha-shlishit. That's the last date. Look, I don't know when he's going to ask. I'm obviously not going to talk about it until yipaked mekomcha. But by the third day, I'm going to hear what's going on. And v'nei tov el David, if the results are good, then there's no problem. V'lo'az eshlach elecha v'gyaliti et oznecha, I will be able to send I'll send a telegram. On the spot, because I don't need to hide anything. If it's clear that Shaul wants you, so then fine, I'll just send and let you know. But whatever horrible thing should happen to me, if what is actually going to happen is if for some crazy reason you're right and my father is actually justifying in his mind that it's a good thing to destroy you, so then I can't send the Shmiah. I will inform you. V'galiti et oznecha v'shilachticha v'alachta l'shalom. And at that point, it's over. I'll send you away. I'll know I'll never see you again. And you go to building the Malchus and I go to the end. V'yi Adonai imach kasher haya imavi. May God be with you the way he was with my father originally and never be made for it. V'lo imodeni chai v'lo tasei madi chesed Adonai. I'll tell you one thing. I will not even ask you. If I'm alive, I wouldn't ask you to do anything for me when that day comes. Because I know I don't have to because of the brit that we have between us. I know that you will keep that brit. And I know v'lo tachrit et chastecha me'im beiti ad olam. And I know that even for my heirs, if I'm no longer living, I don't have to ask that of you. And not only that, this is the most horrific piece of all. And not when the day comes that every last member of my family will be killed. Who's Oyvei David? Oyvei David is Shaul. Mikaf kol oyvav, mikaf Shaul, miyad Shaul. Malamit Shaul haya gadol mikol oyvav shel David. So I know if it's going to come to this, that we split, then that means that the entire family is destroyed. And I don't even have to ask you that if there's any way for you to save any of my children on that day, that you should save them. Vayichrot Yonatan im Beit David. And so this now became a commitment to the Beit HaMalucha of David, ubikesh Adonai miyad oyvei David. And actually was mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all those against David should be destroyed, which included his own family. And the other remez here is also horrific remez. Bikesh Adonai miyad oyvei David, this brit that Yonatan was kores in Beit David was the reason for the destruction of Malchus, his Beis David. Because since at the story when Mephibosheth came to him and claimed that he had wanted David to come back when David had run away, as we'll see, and David wasn't sure whether Tziva, the Eved, was telling the truth or Mephibosheth was telling the truth, and he said to him, okay, so split it. So was it that moment that a bat kol came out, that's the way you treat a descendant of Yonatan? This brit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember. He's going to be mevakish miyad oyvei David as a euphemism. Like we say, this should happen to your enemies. But this brit ends up now. In other words, this is the first part of the bat kol that says, you say, Mephibosheth Tziva yechalek et hasadeh, I say, Rechavam v'Yeravam yechalkut amelucha. And this is the first part of that paschal, in which Bikesh Hashem Yad Oyvei David. You heard this, you went in for this relationship with Yonatan, then it's all or nothing. V'yosef Yonatan lashbiat David ba'avatoto. And he went beyond anything that he needed to say. He committed himself to David's success, no matter what it would cost, him and his family. Ki avat nafsho aivo. Because as we saw before, he didn't see David as somebody else that he was giving himself away to. This was the love of his own soul. Vayomer lo Yonatan, so then let's summarize. Here's what we're going to do. Machar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and at one point or another, v'nifkadata, ki yipaked moshavecha. He's going to ask. And then, v'shilashta, that it may take now 3 days, tered mod on that third day, v'shilashta, hide well, because I may be followed. Ubata lamakom asher nistarta sham biyom ha-ma'aseh. Go to the place where you were hiding out on the day of the event. Now, biyom ha-ma'aseh, the targum is biyuma d'chola, which means on a weekday, which means that Rosh Chodesh is not a weekday. From where the Gemara derives that Rosh Chodesh has elements of Shabbos in it and is usher for malacha, at least for women, which of course is the nature of malchus, is women. So from here we learn that we take 4 aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh. Because if it's a day that has bitul malacha la'am, the way the Gemara puts it, so there's only 3 aliyahs. Can't have long davenings, believe it or not. If, however, it's not going to cause so many problems, so then we have 4 aliyahs. So this is not called a yom chol. So the very fact that we're contrasting a yom chol with yom Rosh Chodesh is an indication that Rosh Chodesh is not considered to be a day of malacha. Remarkable, huh? And so you go to that place. What's that? We mean what we are doing today when we're setting this up. And so, v'yashav tasham, what you do is stay there etzel ha'evan ha'azel. The evan ha'azel is the evan for azel, for going. So in other words, it's a sign. It was a signpost, the way we use today with the little markers on the stone. No.
What would be a
sign? No, a signpost. A signpost. Except the way we use today, we paint a little arrow on a stone, right, to indicate for hikers. So there was an evan ha'azel. I need to know where to talk so that you can hear what I'm saying so that we can meet each other. Stay by the evan ha'azel. Vani shloshet achitzim tzida ore. What I am going to do is I am going to shoot 3 arrows to the side. L'shalach li lamatara, and I'm going to do this as if I'm shooting to a target, but in actuality, I'm not shooting to a target. I'm shooting in order to miss a target. And then v'yinei shlach et anar lech mitzorat achitzim. I'm going to have a boy with me, and I'm going to send him to go and find the chitzim. Now, the way that I speak to him is the indication of what's happening. Im omor omar lana'ar, hinei achitzim mimcha, vahena, kachena vavoa, then kishalom lecha ve'in davar, chai elonai. So if I tell the boy, no, what you've done over here is you've gone too far. The chitzim are closer to where I am. Pick them up. So then that's a sign to you, you get up and come. Because even though I didn't say, I told you I was going to be able to send you, it may be, this is how Rashi understands it, it may be that he really has committed himself to destroying you. But there may be other issues that I'm telling you it's safe to come out. So then I'm telling you it's safe to come out. I'm not giving you the answer. But that would be a mode of expressing, you can come out now. So maybe I'll have to send you away afterwards, or maybe I figured out a way in which we could change things, but trust me on this, that if I say that, you could show yourself. Ve'in davar, chayel, and I swear. that I won't make a judgment call on it. It'll be absolutely clear. Vimko omar la'elam. But if I say to thee, boy, now he becomes an elam because I want him to run further. Why are you sticking around? The arrows are further. Then lech kishilachacha Adonai. And that is the sign that it's over. You have to run away from here. V'adavar shedibarno ani ve'ata. As far as the things that we spoke about. The brit. Hinei Adonai b'ni u'vencha Adolam. Whatever happens, I may never see you again. But whatever happens, if that's what I have to do and send you away, Hashem is a witness between us to this brit and relationship forever. Vayisater David basadeh, and so David indeed hung out in the field. Vayiachodesh, vayishev hamelech al alechem, lechol, king sits down, he's going to eat the siras rosh chodesh. Vayishev hamelech al moshavo kipam bifam, el moshav akir. So he's sitting in his normal place now, which he's facing again, that same dangerous wall. Vayokom Yonatan, vayishev avner mitzad Shaul. It's okay, so there's Yonatan, and it's not now... He's been mechabed his father. So he's now standing, waiting. And Avner, the Staratzava, comes in, Mitzad, Shaul, and that's why he parked in Makom, David. So Shaul goes ahead and eats. Volodiber Shaul Ma'uma Bayomau. He didn't respond because he felt it would be impolitic and impolite. Kiamar Mikrehu, Bilti Tahor, Kilo Tahor. Look, you know, he may have been Roach Kerry. Maybe he's not. Even if we're Ochel Chulin, he's going to be Ochel Chulin Betaira. And there may otherwise, there may be people over here that he didn't catch him, so he's not able to come in. And Kilotor, he didn't even maybe he didn't go to the mikveh. Even if he went to the mikveh, it could be that he's going to be makvid on for Chulin. He doesn't have to wait for Erev Shemesh, but maybe he's makvid for people that are eating catch him or Shlomim. So I'm not going to ask to embarrass him. I'm going to ask where he is. But then, Vayim Mochorat Chodesh Hasheni, Vayipaked Makom David. Now, Rabbeinu Chananel and Reb Sadia Gaon, that's the sheet of Reb Sadia, they bring a raya from here that they would keep 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. But the parsha, the meaning, many people, many of them of Farshim, say this means Mimochorat Chodesh, meaning Hasheni, the second of the month, at the standard breakfast meeting, not at the Rosh Chodesh meeting. Because why in the world would they have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh?
They have a
base, and there would be Mekadosh al Pi'ariya. So it says the Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rambam goes to rip this to shreds in very bitter and angry language. I mean, he doesn't mention by name who says it, but he considers it to be on the verge of like literal insanity in happy courses. But Rabbeinu Chananel learns that what this must mean is that Re'iya is only a nice adjunct, but we don't really paskin al pi Re'iya. And that originally Bezdin was Bekadosh L'Chodesh with a calendar from the time of the first Sanhedrin all the way till the Golos Haaretz, and they also had a calendar. V'araya, he knew tomorrow would be Rosh Chodesh, and there was going to be 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the way we were Koveya. So Ramon, that's totally crazy. The mitzvah in Yoraisa is only al pi Re'iya, and so on. Okay, but in any event, we know that there are plenty of ways in which we're shomer Rosh Chodesh in case the best advice. So okay, so whatever the situation was, they had 2 days according to this approach. Could mean that only in the second of the month, not the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So then that day, vayipakeid makom David. Now there's no way you could be tummy 2 days in a row. Vayomer Shaul Yonatan beno, what's going on? Madua lo ba ben Yishai gam tmo gam hayom el halach. Now. This is the most absurd question that anybody could ask. I'm sorry?
Why would he be here today, right? If it's not Rosh Chodesh?
No. Why would anybody be crazy enough to come to you when you just tried to murder him? I mean, you know, this is the elephant in the room that nobody is mentioning out of politeness. Gee, I wonder why... Well, Ben Yishai, what, did he used to eat around here? I understand they're not embarrassed by this. What kind of stupid question is this? You've told everybody you're going to kill him. Why isn't he here? So that means that everyone was continuing this pretense of the Avarat HaMalchut. And David is saying, I'm telling you it's a lie. I swear to you it's a lie. The only reason that they can get away with this, despite the fact that it was an attempted murder just a few days ago, was because of the events in Ramah, in which Shaul himself had been reset, renewed, everything. Okay, so we understand now. We're both on the same page. We're both sitting there with Shmuel. Why isn't he here? Of course, he still doesn't call him by his name. It's Ben Yishai, and this is the, we talked about this medrash before, the psikta. Ad matai chvodi lechlima, asks David HaMelech in Tehillim. עד מתי אתם מחלימים בכבודי וקוראים אותי בן ישי? מדוע לא בא בן ישי? ראיתי בן לישי. לא כולכם ניתן בן ישי. Why aren't I not a human being to have a name? It's obviously zilzul. So the moment he said that, it was clear that he's relating to him in terms of zilzul. So where's the Yishai kid today? Vayan Yonatan et Shaul, Nish'ol Nish'al David me'imadi ad Beit Lachem. Of course, this is his own remiss to the nature of the She'ilah Samalkus and Shaul. Vayomer, so he asked permission. He said, Shalchenina, ki zevach mishpacha lanu be'ir. V'hu tzivali, you know my older brother, Achi? So he said, I have to come to be with the family. V'ata, imatzatichen be'necha, imaltana back to Sodom. It's exactly the words of the, he went to Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem came from Sdom's Imaltana, which became the source of the Moab, which ends up becoming David. So Imaltana, it's crazy. Passing there in the middle. Imaltana ve'er'et achai. So, can I just escape for a bit, visit my family? And arkein lo ba'al shulchan ha'melech. Boom. Vayicha av Shaul b'Yonatan. That does it. Shaul went absolutely crazy. Okay, he says, now it's in the open. ויאמר לו בן אהבת המרדות, הלא ידעתי כי בוחר אתה לבן ישי לבושתך, לבושת הערבת אמך. These were the probably the harshest word that any father ever spoke to a child anywhere in Tanakh, for sure. Right? So he calls him, this, the Ramazim over here, Chazal tell us that his mother, she was one of the ones that were the Benot Shiloh. And Shaul didn't have a wife. So he was supposed to be one of those Binyamin, of the ones, the 200 who were going to grab the women of Shiloh. But Shaul doesn't grab women. So she grabbed him. So he's saying now to him, you are indeed the proper son, Boshet Ervati Mecha. The kind of woman that would run out and grab a man produces the kind of son who would kick his father out of his own castle. These are horrific words. The Lashon of Na'avat HaMardut actually relates back to the idea of Sochor Secharticha of the Dudaim, which is David, of course, that's the whole remiss to the Dudaim. And that's because the Lashon of Na'avat HaMardut is a Lashon of Na, that is to say, meaning walking around a loose woman. Na means the loose, we would say. Na v'nad. And that was the same issue that happened there. Yatsanit Haita. So the Yatsanit, Ke'im Kebat, that we talk about, is exactly what he was saying here, which is a reference all the way back to the original relationship of Rachel and Leah. So it's really a very crucial point. There's similarities here. This is the Eliyav connection in terms of Bechor Reuven and all of those, you know, in which it was Reuven that was central to the Dudaim story. So there's a tremendous Ramazim here that go across. There's another Lashon, by the way, also once we're mentioning it, that Na'avat is a Lashon of gut, which goes back to Goliath and Orpah. But that's why they call them Migat, which is also a sexual reference. And so that's what kind of mother you have. It's like even worse than a Stama Yatsanit. I know that you chose Ben Yishai over your own family, bringing out the bizoyan of your mother's own nakedness. Don't you understand? As long as that guy is alive, you're never going to be king. Obviously, he doesn't want to be king. He doesn't want Shaul to want to be king. He wants David to be king. So this whole thing is total, absolute blindness, in which instead of grabbing the opportunity of recognizing when you go back to Ramah, what is really happening, he's redoubled his blindness. He says, so now I'm going to tell it to you like it is. It's the last will and testament, boy. You want to live? You want a future? This is the only future. I don't care about your personal feelings. We're talking about the Malchut here. Forget about who you love and who you don't love. You go bring him here. He's dead. I want you to make sure that he comes here. Ata, shlach, v'kachoto elai, ki ben mavetu. This is the final stage. He wasn't willing to come back here. Vayan Yonatan et Shaul aviv, vayomer elav, lama yumat. I don't understand what you're talking about. Me'asa, what did he do? Did he do something? Or it's the fact that he is? Vayata Shaul et achanit alav lakotov, Shaul grabs his spear to kill Yonatan. Vayeda Yonatan ki chala yimim aviv la'amit et aviv. That was clear, that there's nothing, it's hopeless. There's no way that there's going to be any kind of hope for David. This is an absolute commitment. Anything in Shaul, in Yonatan, that could possibly commit for David is itself a death sentence. And from here, the Gemara learns, halacha lamaisa, ad hechan tochacha. What is the chiyuv of tochacha? How far does it go? So all based on this pasuk, we have three shitot, Shmuel ad kolala, Rabbi Yochanan and ad nazifa, Rav ad haka'a. So the Gemara says over there, Shloshta mikra achad dorshu. Vayichar afshavu biyonatan, vayomer lo, ben navat hamardut. Uchtiv, vayato sh'ula tachanit alav lakoto. So in other words, so the man, the Gemara says, at kolala. That's when he called him, levoshet kalavoshet ervat imecha. That's a horrible curse that he's saying. He's cursing him, literally. He's using dirty words. The one who says ad nezifa is vayichar afshol. The one who says ad haka'a is that he took the thing to kill him. So apparently the Gemara understands that there's an argument between the words that we don't hear, because otherwise, I mean, how do you know it's staged? I mean, once you reach the point, you just kept doing it. And he was, so that doesn't prove anything. So apparently Shaul, Yonatan didn't let go until he was actually going to kill him. According to that man, the Yomar, and then that means not that it was a result of what Yonatan had said, but what he continued to say. And there we learn the halach of how much you need, which is amazing, that in a normal relationship between human beings, that you need to be able to go this far to set somebody straight. I mean, isn't this like the ultimate emergency? No. This is truth. This is the responsibility that someone has for another human being's truth. Do you have to risk your life if necessary? Vayokam Yonatan min hashulchan b'choriav. He was absolutely in a state of pure white fury. He didn't eat that day. He was distressed, broken over what had happened now, that this is the end of David. And for his father had spoken about him in this way is like horrible. This is his love. So it's the chlimo aviv, as Rashi says, bishvil David. The feelings were all centered on David, not centered on himself. Vayiv avoker, vayitzei Yonatan asadeh limo'ed David v'nar katonimo. Now this is really the wrong day. In other words, he couldn't go out on the third day. This is the fourth day, because the third day was the day of, it was Machar Chodesh, it was Yom HaChodesh HaShini. On that day, he didn't go. He waited till the next morning. So obviously, things were far worse than he had thought they were. He couldn't go out on this. So David, he understood that David would realize, you just have to keep waiting until I'm able to get out. If I can't get out, it's not my fault. And when it says limo'ed David, it obviously doesn't mean limo'ed at the right time, because it wasn't the right time. It means the makom, to the meeting that they had set up. It was delayed by a day. And he took a nar katon with him, who wouldn't be too aware of anything strange. Vayomel naro, so he tells the boy, roots v'tzana tachitzim, mashon nofimona. I'm going to be shooting, you find the arrows. Anar rats, v'yara chetzi la'aviro. The boy runs and he shoots the arrow beyond. Vayavoa anar ad mekom achetzi asher yara Yonatan. And Yonatan shouts out, Achri Anar Vayomar, what are you stopping for? Alo achetzi mimcha bahala. It's further on. Vayikra Yonatan Achri Anar, Mehera, hurry! Chushad, run! What do you take so long for? Altamod, why laziness? Vayalaket nar Yonatan at achitzi achitzim. Because first he saw the first one, then he sent more, the other two, to go beyond them. Vayavol adunav. Banar lo yadam uma. The boy didn't know that anything was going on. Ach Yonatan and David yadu et hadavar. Only Yonatan and David understood. Vayitin Yonatan et keilav el anar shelo. Vayiron alecha ve'yair. Yonatan gave him the bow and arrow, all the things he had. Take it home, will you? Anar ba, and Yonatan sees it safe. And so David kami etzel ha-negev, vayipol ha-paf arza, vayishtachu shalosh pa'amim. So it was clear that this was the end. Vayishku ishet re'ehu, this is another one of the Gemara's rayas, that a parting kiss is devoid of sexual content. It's not embo tiflut. Vayivku ishet re'ehu ad David higdil. And they cried for each other until it was David who was the one who was most devastated by what he understood would be the end of Yonatan. Vayomer Yonatan, David, leich l'shalom. You can go in peace. And the shvua, asher nishbanu shneinu anachnu, b'shem Adonai leimor, Adonai yeh b'ni uveinecha, uvein zar'i uvein zaracha ad olam. Because at least we know that in the most primal way, Yehuda and Binyamin are intimately connected, and this is something that will be the Eravon ad olam, so that even, as Chazal say, even if all of the other Shvatim are thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, this brit remains, so that arvut of Yonatan and David essentially is the arvut that continues the relationship of the Malchus in which Binyamin and Yehuda share in the Beit HaMikdash, share in the ultimate destiny of Yisrael. The depths of the Ramazim here, both as to the nature of love and to the level of commitment, is the unbelievable Arizal, who says arrows always mean sperm. That's the Gemara. But throughout all the Psukim, we're obviously kichitzim biyad gibor, or shichlazer is yorek kichetz, and so on. which is unbelievable because the reason that sperm would be a chetzi is because it only has half. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's astonishing. Right? So half the chromosomes, that's the chetzi. The Brit over here is bein zar'i u bein zar'acha, which literally in Latin is translated semeni. Because that's what zera means. It's what it means in Hebrew also, but we get used to the mixing of the metaphors, so to speak. So that the nature of the most primal information contained in me, in my genes, and what I am meant to be, as I could have been, and my father destroyed, and that's the ben navat amardut, is that destruction. There's no longer even his input into my mother anymore. It's like, it's all over. It's not even the family connection. He's makhish to my genetic connection, in a sense. He looks down at it. All those dreams are finished. But at least the primal information that could have ended up eventually. I know that you're going to be king. And I know that in the end, it'll be Rosh Chodesh. And it'll be David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. This Brit is the type of Brit that touches the most primal elements of information contained in a human being. And despite the fact that he recognized that on a personal level, it was over for him. Because there was no way that he was going to be able to make it out of this alive. And that's why Ki David Yigdil. So this is ultimate parting, in which the entire point of the Perek is the extent to how far they were willing to go, and becomes the halachic definition of how far you have to be willing to go in such circumstances to cure what appears to be hopeless, and how painful was a parting in which there was no choice because there was nothing left to do. Tremendously powerful paragraph.